This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Jimmy, who chooses the music on this show, he is the consummate sports fan because this song, this is Steam, I think from the 60s, maybe the 70s, but this is Na Na, Hey Hey, Kiss Him Goodbye. And obviously this is a message to the Tampa Bay Lightning, who we send packing once again, and we declare our dominance over Florida hockey once more.
You want me some money too, baby?
I got to talk about Crowder's bets in a second here, because this dude had some guts last night, because he bet something. You know, Jimmy also sent me a text last night, now that I'm thinking about it, when the Panthers won and finished the gentleman sweep, if you will, of the Tampa Bay Lightning. I get a text from Jimmy that just says, "Say goodnight, Gracie." Now, do you know what that is, Crowder?
No idea.
Do you know, Dan, what "Say goodnight, Gracie" is?
I'm scared to find out.
That is a line from George Burns. Now, I don't even know if you guys know who George Burns is.
Jimmy, how George old Burns, are you?
George Burns is a comedian. When I was a kid, George Burns must have been 100 years old. And he performed, I believe, before I was born, his wife, Gracie Allen, had died. But from what I understand, it was Burns and Allen. And he would, you know, he would smoke a cigar. And then at the end of their bit, he would say, "Say goodnight, Gracie." And then she would say, "Goodnight, Gracie." That was the joke. But I'm telling you, when I was a kid, like 7 years old, it was such a treat to see George Burns on the Johnny Carson show. My parents would let me stay up late, like George Burns. Jimmy texts me last night after the Panthers win, "Say goodnight, Gracie," which is delightful and alarming at the same time. Jimmy, how do you know "Say goodnight, Gracie"?
My dad exposed me to classic movies, so I just know that reference.
How old are you, Jimmy?
I am 39.
No, you're not.
He's 86.
There's no way
in my mind.
Dude, George Burns was 100 years old 35 years ago.
Is that? I'm not kidding you. Like, I remember. Is that first? That's for real?
No, I mean, it's close enough.
It's got to be close, right? George Burns. This is just apropos of nothing, but I just thought of it when I was talking about Jimmy there. George Burns was born in 1896.
I can't even do the math.
He died in 1996 at 100 years old. That's 30 years. Yeah, you're right. So he was 100 30 years ago, essentially. And to celebrate the Panthers moving on to round two, I got a text from one of our producers in his 30s that said, "Say goodnight, Gracie."
Jimmy, you're not 39.
Yes, I am.
No, you're doctoring your birth certificate. You're 57 years old, Jimmy.
That is even 57. Like, I'm 55. I wouldn't say "Say goodnight, Gracie," because I know there's no one who would know that what that is. It was a shocking twist and turn on my text line yesterday.
Wow.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
I should have sent that to LeBron and Luka as well.
Well, this is wild to me. So anyway, Panthers, gentlemen sweep, and we thought the Lightning were going to be a really tough out in the first round. Panthers had no problem. Extrapolate that however you want, but we thought the Lightning were going to be a really tough out, and the Panthers really kind of just tore through them like a hot knife through a stick of butter.
You got me on the live betting. That's why I bet. I bet live.
Yes.
I was watching the game, how the difference in approach, and I was like, oh, it's no chance they beat them tonight.
We'll talk some Panthers with Mike Cuno today. Jim Larinaga will join us today. He always joins us on Thursdays. We talk basketball with him. So speaking of basketball, the Lakers get bounced. I was at the Inter-Miami game, so I didn't bet anything other than Inter-Miami. I bet game total over 2.5. That was no problem. Parlayed with Messi to score a goal, which he did not do. They looked like doo-doo last night. kind of like the Heat on Monday night is how the Inter-Miami team looked last night. But regardless, I would have bet, if I was home watching the games and I was betting, I would have bet the Lakers. I would have bet the Lakers the rest of the series. I thought the Lakers were going to come back and win that series. It is shocking to me that they're out in round one with Luka and LeBron.
You know, when I bet, and you saw my bet, I bet 5 units. I knew
Crowder put a large bet on the Timberwolves, and it showed guts, man, because I don't know where you saw that coming from.
When Luka went down and walked off like he was a 77-year-old man into the locker room early, that's exactly when I put the bet in. Without Luka at 100%, they were playing to 1-point games anyway. Without Luka at 100%, LeBron's old. He can't hold it down anymore. Them young dudes were going out, LeBron and Luka. You saw the stat. Luka got blown by 9 times, the most in any playoff game ever.
Like, their defensive numbers when he's on the court in that series was like dead last in the NBA if you took it to the regular season.
And now he has back spasms. That's when I put my bet in, and it paid off. I said,
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I don't know if Crowder's internet crapped out or mine did, but everything went black. I see everybody now. Looks like everybody's back, but I didn't know what happened there.
Mine went bad, little, too. Okay, so that was on the station.
There. Yeah, that may be the station.
Computer. Solar flares.
Heat lamps.
They're blaming J.J. Redick for it.
Well,
everybody's blaming J.J. Redick.
I saw there was a lot of conversation on First Take this morning blaming Luka, first of all. And saying that Nico Harrison, you know what? Maybe he wasn't completely in the wrong when he identified Luka as a conditioning problem and a defensive liability and someone that you wouldn't be able to actually win a ring with. Now, what they were saying was he might not be as wrong as we made him out to be. He needs, though, to acknowledge when he made that trade just how seismic it was. Like, that part never changed. And the way that he went about saying, oh, I didn't realize how beloved Luka was, like, that will never change. But maybe he wasn't completely out of his mind identifying Luka's potential weaknesses. But, I mean, it was on display last night.
And if a guy has conditioning problems, he can't play 24 minutes a half. Maybe sit Luka down and let him have a couple Jolly Ranchers or something, because he doesn't need to be out there that long.
I mean, J.J. Redick certainly learned that lesson. Well, I shouldn't say he learned that lesson in the previous game, but I understand when you're facing elimination, I mean, you got to throw everything that you can throw out there, but I was surprised. That's the third time I saw first take, the third time that LeBron has been ousted in the first round of the playoffs since becoming a Laker. They were asking on first take, do you think his championship window is done?
Yes, as the two? Yes.
I guess, yeah.
As a two, yeah. Now, LeBron, they have to bring in some other young gun to run with LeBron.
I forget. One of the panelists said it's really up to Rob Pelinka as to whether his championship window is over.
And I know we criticize LeBron. I have a whole segment called LeBron Will Lie Whenever Hawk Can't Make It to the Show. Like, I criticize LeBron. Watching him in this series, this is not the big three LeBron. He's an old man. He's 40. I mean, like,
how long is he? He's been playing, what, 22 seasons?
It's crazy. And it's
crazy.
It's impressive until you watch those other young dudes that are moving faster than him. He doesn't even jump anymore. He just tries to slap the ball when they're dribbling. He doesn't want to go up there with those guys anymore. He can do it, but he can't do it consistently. He needs to be a three on a championship team. But Luka, him, and them, that can't win a championship.
Like, I was at Inter Miami last night. It's like watching Messi out there, because he's great, but he's the oldest guy on the field, or one of the older guys on the field, and can't move as quickly as the young guys. Like, it's noticeable.
Jordan with the Wizards?
Mm-hmm.
It was Emmitt Smith with the Cardinals. I remember watching the greats.
And that's not to diminish, by the way. I think LeBron right now is still better than MJ ever looked with the Wizards, and better than Emmitt Smith ever looked with the Cardinals. But you are seeing, as you should be, by the way, a different LeBron.
And that's the thing, Hulk. The criticism. Shaq in Phoenix, the big cactus, his knees couldn't bend. He couldn't even run up. Like, he couldn't get up and down the court. And we know Shaq's greatness. Like, people get old. Father Time is undefeated. And I wouldn't say Father Time got LeBron, but he's getting closer. He's sneaking up on him.
And Jimmy, who's 100 years old, says, remember Willie Mays with the Mets?
LeBron actually remembers Burns and Allen. LeBron is old enough to. Even Jim Larrañaga, next segment's going to say goodnight, Gracie. What is that from? I don't
Jimmy,
remember that.
Jimmy, there's no way you're 39.
How many people did you text say goodnight, Gracie, to? Or was that reserved for me?
That was reserved for you.
Okay. Did you know that I would get it? Did you really know that was from George Burns?
You told me. I did that. That wasn't the first time I told you that. I told you that
I don't
before.
Even remember that.
And you.
I'm guessing I reacted with the same outrage.
Yes, with the same outrage.
Because honestly, that's something that my dad, who's been dead 15 years now, would have said when I was a kid. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, say goodnight, Gracie. I called Len this morning. I had to share this with Len because I knew Len would appreciate it. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Len was in George Burns elementary school class.
Yeah, they went to class together. He used to say goodnight, Gracie, after they were done with their study hall. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about on the show today. We have another pair of tickets, by the way, for Billy Idol and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. They're coming to the Amerant Bank Arena May 13th. And we've got a pair of tickets every day this week. It's a Live Nation show. Keep on listening. We'll get to that at some point before 6 o'clock. Our Whiskey Stars and Cigars event presented by Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall is coming up soon, Friday, May 9th. That's at Tabacon Plantation Walk. You can come on out. The entire QAM staff is going to be there. We're going to be drinking whiskey and smoking cigars from Drew Estate. It's a free event, so stop on by, put it on your calendar. Whiskey, Stars, and Cigars, Tabacón at Plantation Walk. And again, it's Friday, May 9th. It's presented by Ed Moore Sawgrass Auto Mall, your 2024 Dealer of the Year. 22 acres of new and pre-owned Chevys, Cadillacs, and Buicks. Online at edmoresawgrass.com. Must be 21 or over to attend. Let us get headlines with Dan Day. Solana's off for the next couple of days, so Dan Day will be here. And we'll do some headlines here to start the show, brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen.
It feels so good. Lightning coach John Cooper conceded that their time is pretty much up, and it is the Panthers' turn.
It is. Now you've got a little body of work to look back on now. I am so shocked. I'm not shocked that the Panthers are advancing to the second round. I'm shocked with the ease at which they were able to advance at the hands of Tampa. Tampa was an excellent team, and we were a little bit nervous about the Panthers going into this postseason because, you know, guys hadn't played for a month, like Matthew Tkachuk. Brad Marchand is new to the team. He's phenomenal. We knew this, though, watching him play for 15 seasons or however long he was in Boston. Seth Jones has been a great acquisition. Sergei Bobrovsky is playoff Bob. Like, everything has gone right for the I was going to ask Cuno that. Is there anything after the first series where you look at the Panthers and you go, well, that's a weak area that's going to be a tough, you know, hurdle for, you know, the next round?
I can't see it either. And I got to put, to your point, adding Marchand, getting Ekblad back after months of and just going right into the lineup and really balling out. That Paul Ball thing, that system stuff means something.
It does. Because
everybody kept saying, like, oh, don't worry about it. Listen, we're built to play in the playoffs. And then you go and dominate the Lightning for an entire series.
I mean, the Lightning won the division, right? Didn't they win the Atlantic division?
No, second place. Who won the Maple Leafs?
Maple Leafs won the Atlantic division. So, but the Lightning were seeded, obviously, ahead of the Panthers because they had home ice.
But everyone kept George Richards and Doug and Red Deer, and they kept telling us, like, no, just trust me. We're made for the playoffs. This team is built for the playoffs, and we're seeing it right now.
It showed, man. This series was an eye-opener for me, and I believe anyone – because remember, all those writers from The Athletic, all the national pundits, like, the majority had Tampa moving on to the next round before the series started. So I think this was an eye-opener for a lot of people around the league. Like, hey, Panthers may have played possum for the last month and a half of the season – this team might be better than the team that won the cup last year.
Oh, talk nasty to me, Hawk. I love it.
I said play possum. That's for the George Burns fans in the audience because it's a very old reference. That was for you, Jimmy.
He greatly appreciates that. The Cats now wait for the winner of the Toronto Maple Leafs Ottawa Senators series. Those two teams play tonight at 7 o'clock with Toronto up 3-2.
Yeah, I'd love to see Ottawa win tonight, obviously, so that they have to play even longer while the Panthers get to rest again. Pretty cool.
On to the NBA, Knicks and Pistons tonight at 7:30. New York up 3-2 in that series. Then at 10 o'clock, you get the Nuggets and the Clippers with Denver up 3-2 in that series.
Yeah, Jim Larrañaga was out in L.A. for two of those Clippers-Nuggets games. You know, his son is an assistant on the Clippers staff. That series is great.
Oh, my goodness. I got to get two more of these games. Clippers got to win tonight.
That series is great. That has to go seven games, right? That series, we all deserve a seventh game in that series.
Come on, Kawhi. Do the alien stuff you usually do.
Speaking of Los Angeles, Kyle Stowers balled out yesterday. 4-for-4, two home runs, but it wasn't enough. The Marlins got swept by the Dodgers, losing yesterday 12-7. The A's come to town tomorrow at 7:10.
Yeah, Marlins gave up a lot of runs to the Dodgers in that series. It was like 500 runs over the course of three games.
Roughly. The Heat held their exit interviews yesterday, and Eric Spoelstra did admit that the Jimmy Butler drama did affect the team this season.
Oh, it can't not.
That's how could it not? You lost your superstar.
Like, you lost your best player, your superstar, and he didn't go out quietly. He went out bitching.
Yeah.
Is that how he went out?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Spo said it, but I had to speak for Spo. Jimmy went out bitching.
With that being said, let's just get to weather from the Investment and Dover Law Firm.
Your I mean, go out classy and just say goodnight, Gracie. Jimmy, don't let me bully you out of texting that to me. No. Please, text that to me anytime anybody gets bounced out of anything. I love it.
Jimmy, you're Benjamin Button.
Do you know who George Burns is when I say his name, Crowder?
No, I've never heard. Like, I had to do research you were talking about it. Never heard
Did
of
you
his
see
name
a picture of him?
Pictures
George Burns, you know, had the cigar.
With a cigar, and he's probably 99 in this picture.
Right.
There he is, He's kind of like the human version of a monkey. He kind of looks like a monkey.
Yeah, that picture was taken in 1971.
Jimmy may have taken that picture for him.
He does look like that little outbreak monkey.
Mother used to always say the joke about George Burns, like when he died, like, smoking kills.
George Burns, so he used to go on Johnny Carson. I remember watching him, and George Burns would go on Johnny Carson and say, I smoke 10 to 12 cigars a day. And he did it for years and years and years. Loved his cigars. Lived to be 100 years old. He's actually 99. I don't think he actually made it to 100. I think he was a couple months short of 100. But I remember being a kid, and I was fascinated. He was booked in, 1970-something when he was in his 70s. He was booked for a concert on his 100th birthday in Vegas at one of the casinos. And I, in a kid's mind, especially back when I was a kid, like, 100 was, I mean, people didn't live to be 100. I feel like people are playing in the NBA at 100 nowadays. But, like, I remember, like, that stuck with me all these years. Like, that was fascinating. This guy's going to play a comedy concert. Like, he's still with it and whatever. And there it is. Jimmy bringing him back in May of 2025 with one simple text.
Hawk, it reminds me of Asia's grandmother, Josie Turner. She was 92 years old, and she'd every time, hey, Mama, I got to, run to the store for you. Get me 6 packs of bacon. I say, no, Mama, like, we got to eat a little better. Maybe I get some turkey bacon. Don't bring me more GD turkey bacon. I want pork bacon. I've been eating pork bacon for 93 years. You think I'm going to stop now?
Yep.
And
sometimes they got the secret. The secret's right there. One cigar a day might kill you. Dozen, you live to 100.
Josie Turner ate a pack of bacon a day for 96 years. Crazy.
Man, gets me excited for whiskey, stars, and cigars.
Yeah, I'm going to act like George Burns. I'm going to research some of his comedy material. I'm going to bring back George Burns.
Weather, it's going to be cloudy the rest of the day, and then it's going to be rainy all the way through Tuesday starting tomorrow. So that is your weather.
All right, Jim Larrañaga is going to join us in the next segment. Jim Larrañaga went to In-N-Out Burger when he was out in L.A. Ooh. Remember, we gave him a little bit of the business because he'd never been to In-N-Out Burger. Not only did he go to In-N-Out Burger, he'll tell you the story. He took a Waymo. Have you ever taken a Waymo anywhere, Crowder?
No, that's the self-driving car?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Ain't no way. I've seen Terminator. I'm scared of Skynet.
I wouldn't have the guts. I don't think I would have the guts to get in there.
Oh, terrified of Skynet.
Come on. That's awesome.
Thing takes you wherever it wants to take you. You put in whatever location you want. If it feels like going somewhere else. I mean, listen, that's a gutsy move right there.
Right in the river, doors locked.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
I'm good.
Didn't bring Coach out like to the runway of LAX or something?
We got a lot to talk about with Coach.
Go crazy, Miami! Go crazy, Hurricane fans!
Hawk and Crowder.
Well, we love our Thursdays with Coach Jim Larrañaga, and there is so much to talk about. We always have so much to talk about with him. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Jim Larrañaga, longtime head coach for the Miami Hurricanes basketball team, and he's been inducted into the University of Miami Hall of Fame. I'm still waiting for my call, but maybe one day if I keep grinding. He was in L.A., for two of the Clippers-Nuggets games, he saw one of the most fascinating finishes you'll ever see in an NBA game. His son, of course, a coach for the Clippers. And while he was there, I let the cat out of the bag earlier in the show, but if people follow me on social media, they saw it. While he was in LA, he visited In-N-Out Burger for the first time. He had told us on this show he had never been to In-N-Out Burger, even though he had been to Los Angeles a number of times. So we have a lot to get to. We'll get to the In-N-Out Burger stuff later on in the segment, Coach, because I want to start with the Heat. All right. There's a lot to talk about, but I want to start with the Heat. You saw the way the Heat went out against Cleveland. It was something you really don't see with a Heat team. And I wonder how you perceive what happened with the Heat-Cavs series, and specifically that last game. Can you attribute it to, hey, the Cavs are just that much better? Or was there something in the psyche of the players also in that game four?
I think very, very clearly Cleveland deserved to be the number one seed in the East. They've earned it through the long season. And then they happened to play like an unbelievable game. Every shot went in. Every three was on target. They were getting contributions from everyone, not just the starters, not just Donovan Mitchell, but everybody was playing well. And on the other side of the court, Tyler Hero, our go-to guy, got off to a slow start, and we dug ourselves such a big hole that it was impossible to climb out. Not just in the last game, not in game four, but even game three, it was the same way. You dig yourself a hole, and it's just too hard to get out.
And, Coach, speaking of Tyler Hero, because Darius Garland came out, and it went viral where they were like, what's your offensive approach? He said, go at Tyler Hero. Jump on their weak defenders. When your offensive mainstay, your all-star, is not good on defense, we see it with Luka. They were talking about Luka this morning or defensively. Like, when your all-star is bad on defense, how do you deal with that as a coach?
Well, Nico Harrison found a way. He traded him. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. Nico was seeing some of the weaknesses in Luka's defensive game. Doesn't take away from his offense, but Crowder, you saw when Luka got hurt, you know, he limped off the court like he was my age instead of, you know, 20s. Yeah. So in Tyler Hero's case, he's in an organization that basically demands, you know, you buy into the culture, which is we're going to be the hardest working team, the toughest minded team, and yet they're just short of talent. I mean, you got a certain amount of talent, but quite honestly, the Cleveland Cavaliers have more. That front court that they have, those two big guys are sensational. You know, you got Mobley, who is the defensive player of the year, right? And then Allen is one of the great shot blockers in the league. When you have rim protection, your defense on the perimeter can be much better. You can put a lot more pressure because even if you get beat, there's someone there to reject the shot or contest the shot. That's the problem the Lakers have. They, you know, J.J. Redick was playing his starters all the time because their bench wasn't strong enough, and they did not have a big guy to handle the size of Minnesota's big guys. You know, Joe Bay had 27 points and some ridiculous number of rebounds, Rudy Gobert. So, you know, I think the NBA is in a situation where the number one seed is winning in both ends. My concern would be if I were the Golden State Warriors coming back home and the Houston Rockets, the way they played the other night, I guess that was last night, they might be able to get one on the road at Golden State and get it back home to Houston.
How would you approach that as a head coach, the way J.J. Redick approached it? Because you just said they don't have the depth. So you're in a situation, you're the coach. I have no chance to win unless I have LeBron and Luka out here for the entire half. But if I leave them out here for the entire half, it's very possible that they're going to be gassed by the end of the game and not be able to give me what I need. So what do you do?
Yeah, That's exactly the question every coach, including J.J. Redick, was asking himself long before the game began. You're in a situation where you have to win. We got to win this game. And when you don't, you're at a loss for finding solutions to your problems. He changed the lineup a little bit and hoped that that would work, but it didn't. You know, sometimes you just don't have the answers to your problems. The Lakers did not, and the Heat did not.
And Coach, hindsight 2020. Like, I joke about it all the time when Paul Pasqualoni had me cover Antonio Gates one game. And it was a mismatch. I can't cover Antonio Gates. He's a Hall of Famer, and he destroyed me, and we gave up a bunch of touchdowns. And I knew going into it, I'm like, this is not a good matchup, but I'm going to do my job. As a coach, can you look back on a time where you made a decision, and then after the game, you're like, yeah, that was a terrible decision?
Oh, there are plenty of incidents like that. But Antonio Gates, do you remember what his college career was like?
He played basketball.
Basketball. He played for my assistant coach. Stan Heath was the head coach at Kent State. Antonio Gates is a heck of a basketball player, and now he's a Hall of Famer in the NFL. You know, some things are just – you just can't understand them. But as a coach, you're constantly looking for solutions to the problem. The problem is there are no solutions to certain problems. Yeah. And it, you know, you don't have the right personnel. Your personnel is hurt. Your bench is not very strong. You know, I look at what the Heat went through this year. I'm saying Spo did a great job of getting them to the playoffs. Right. You know, at one point on the show, we were talking about it. They had lost like 10 in a row, right? Do you remember that?
Yep.
And then all of a sudden in the last 10 games, they finished like 8-2 to get back in the hunt. Then they knock off Atlanta in Atlanta to be the first team in NBA history to go from the 10th seed into the field of eight for the Eastern Conference. So, you know, to me, okay, the season is over. Now Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, ownership, they get together and figure out, okay, what's the next step? What direction are we going to go in with the draft and with trades? And they've reached out. Last year, they reached out to a bunch of guys. But the Jimmy Butler situation, I thought, derailed them right from the beginning.
And that would be hard not to.
Yeah. And Coach, I would ask you, is there any guy, because after the Antonio Gates game, the coaching staff came up and was like, Crowder, we put you in a terrible situation. I was like, I appreciate you recognizing that. Have you ever walked up to a kid afterwards and been like, hey, you that wasn't how it was supposed to happen, but you were out. Man, it's almost ego. It was an ego knock for me, but it was honesty.
Yeah, well, we played Gary Trent Sr. at Ohio University. He scored 49 points without making a three. He didn't even take a three. Scored 49 points. He had 10 three-point plays where he scored and we fouled him and he made the free throw. But he was just bigger, stronger, faster, better at everything than the guys he was matched up with. And I told him afterwards, you know, he did a great job of holding him under 50.
I'll look for the positive. So you were in L.A. Your son Jay coaches with the Clippers. That series, first of all, he was at the game where it was, I mean, the frame-by-frame replay at the end, which gave the game to the Nuggets. That series has to go seven, right? It's a fun series, first of all. And obviously your Clippers needed to go seven because they can be eliminated tonight.
No, Aaron Gordon needed to be thrown out for the fight that he started earlier in that game. Did you see that?
I did. Right
before the half, he jumps in and starts shoving and swinging and everything. He's lucky he got to stay in the game.
I did. And do you like when he gets like that? These two teams, they're both – because I feel like they're so evenly matched. Like, I could make a case for both of them to advance because Kawhi's unstoppable, but Jokic and Murray are unstoppable. So
how could this not go seven?
Well, Nikola Jokic, to me, there's not been a player ever like him. He has all of the qualities of a Larry Bird and several other greats, the way he handles the ball and passes the ball, shoots the ball, rebounds the ball. He's a great teammate. He's smart as can be. And then, you know, Murray is a sensational scorer. So they've got a great 1-2 punch. They've got a great chance of advancing. They have to try to win one of these next two. But I also think the Clippers, when they're at their best, when James Harden is playing great, when Kawhi is at his best, and now with Zubac being one of the best young players, young big men in the league right now, maybe the most improved player in the NBA. My son works with him every day, and when I watch him, I see the difference in him. You know, he was with the Lakers. He got traded from the Lakers. If the Lakers had him now, they would not have lost to Minnesota. But now he's with the Clippers. He's doing a pretty solid job on guarding Jokic. But I'll be up late tonight. That game starts at 10 o'clock. I'll be tuned in watching every second of that one.
Yeah, I'll be locked in too, Coach. Does Kawhi need to take over? Because their last win, Kawhi took over. He went crazy in that game, their last win. Does Kawhi need to take the ball and take over the game?
Well, I think your stars need to. I think James Harden has to be more aggressive, because when he's really in attack mode, he gets points and assists. When he's just in delivering the passes, he doesn't score nearly as much, and then you can help off of him. But when he's in attack mode, Kawhi's always in attack mode. That guy is a bucket every time he touches the ball. So the two of them have to step up. They got to win tonight and advance to game seven, and then everybody's got to bring it. Hopefully the Clippers will win and advance. I got my fingers crossed on that one.
Yeah,
but it didn't help. It didn't help eating the In-N-Out burger, I can tell you that.
Let's talk about it. So, Jim Larinaga.
It's not ranked in my top five burgers, I can tell you that.
He revealed on this show he had never been to In-N-Out Burger. I, of course, feigned outrage because this is my wheelhouse. And so he went out there to L.A., got in a Waymo, first of all, gutsy call on your part, and went to In-N-Out Burger. So tell us about the experience.
Well, first of all, Waymo is freakish. I was sitting in the front seat and looking at the wheel moving. There's no one in the driver's seat. What was so interesting, though, we got on the highway and he was behind a slow-moving car in the left lane. And we were having a discussion because it was me, my wife, my son, and my granddaughter. We're all in the car wondering if we're just going to go so slow, and Waymo moved into the right lane, passed the car, and then got back in the left lane. Now, it stays within the speed limit, but it was crazy the way it changed lanes and moved. And I told my wife, hey, you're a great driver, but I think Waymo beat you today.
Did you relax in it, though?
I enjoyed it.
I wouldn't be able to just have a conversation with the people I was in the car with. I feel like I would just be, you know, stuck watching the car and kind of, you know, worried about every move that it's making.
Yeah, well, you are very focused. There's no question about that. And trying to figure out what decisions it's going to make. But it was very, very focused, very simple. It didn't do anything that would scare you. And it got us right. It brought us to the In-N-Out Burger. The place was packed.
Oh, it is.
There were not just 100 people in the store. There was a line outside. It
always
was crazy. Plus they have a drive-through, which was packed. I'd never seen anything like it. And as I said, the In-N-Out Burger is not one of my top five. McDonald's,
really?
Burger King, Shake Shack, Wendy, all better than In-N-Out
really?
Burger.
What? Now, I will say I like the service at In-N-Out Burger. They always fully staffed. I always think that's always impressive. I think their fries are a little undercooked. In fact, I texted you. You should get your fries well done. I think their fries are always a little undercooked. So what'd you get? Did you get the number one? Did you get a double-double?
Number one.
I got two cheeseburgers and an order of fries.
And it just was them. What? It was just blah?
Yeah, it just plain. I mean, it didn't have any kick to it. I needed a lot of ketchup to get it down.
Have you ever been to Whataburger?
Yes.
Yes, I've been to Whataburger.
Whataburger.
Where does Whataburger rank?
Probably right around In-N-Out
Burger.
You like the staple. You like the McDonald's.
There's nothing like,
it.
There's nothing like a yeah. It's nothing like Mickey D's. You I'm get a number you. One there, you're in I good
love,
shape.
He loves
you get
his number one. He loves his number one.
Yeah.
Five guys makes a good burger.
Five guys is good. Yeah. That now in that case, the fries are overwhelming. You get a bag full of French fries even along with your order.
One of life's greatest joys is Five Guys and just a, you know, because they have the cup of fries and they fill the cup, but then they just shovel fries right into the bag. Is that not one of the great pleasures of life?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, there's certain things I like to eat. Hamburgers is one. I'm not a big eater. I would prefer not to eat. I haven't eaten lunch today. Did you guys eat lunch today?
Yes. I had an avocado toast with cappuccino.
I had three pretzel rods. That was my lunch today.
Wait till you hear Crowder. Rods. Crowder's gonna have had Alfredo sauce with fettuccine. Like he I can't eat heavy during the day. I love sitting outside. There's a little cafe outside our apartment. Avocado toast, cappuccino. I'm in heaven. That's like my happy place. Wow. Crowder eats like every meal is his final meal.
Triple order of steamed spinach. I ate three chicken breasts. I go in, coach. Yeah, life is short.
What? You're not playing anymore. What do you weigh these days?
I'm actually thin. But
you are pretty good lately. Yeah, he looks pretty good lately.
Yeah, all meat and vegetables, though. I don't do any carbs. I don't eat any chips or French fries and all that. All I do is the what's it called? The caveman diet. Meat and vegetables and fruit.
Okay. That's pretty
He's
good.
He's such a liar. I just did two broadcasts with him this week.
What did I eat?
Did he eat Oreos?
He was loaded down with candy. The cavemen didn't eat trolley gummies. Like he shows up with bags and bags of candy, which, now, by the way, is loaded with sugar, which is carbs.
Sugar's carbs? Now, coach, yeah. I'm going to lose my foot here in a couple years. Diabetes is on the way, but I don't eat any bread.
Okay.
You've
got standards.
No, coach, I got to ask, you're a movie guy and I'm old school minded. And you're an old school dude. Like Terminator, going back to the Waymo, Terminator and Total Recall.
Did
those movies not scare you away from
technology? Yeah, they did.
I'm terrified of Skynet. I'm never getting in a Waymo.
Well, it's coming close to the end, so do I have to say goodnight, Gracie?
So when I said on the air that my producer, who's 30, how old did Jimmy say he was? 39?
I am 39,
which we're not certain if that's true or not. Mm-mm. When I tell you he texted me after the Panthers disposed of the Lightning last night, say goodnight, Gracie, you obviously know what the reference is, right?
Yeah. George Burns and Gracie Allen, that was one of my favorite shows growing up.
Has anyone texted say goodnight, Gracie, to someone else in the last 30 years?
I doubt it. That's pretty funny. But they were hysterical. George Burns was a great comedian.
So I think Gracie Allen was already gone by the time I was a kid. So I used to see George Burns on Johnny Carson, but I never saw Burns and Allen.
Gracie Allen died of a heart attack in 1964.
Oh, I was born in 69. So, yeah, I wasn't around.
So she wasn't that funny after 64.
Well, George Burns used to have me howling when I would watch Johnny Carson when I was a kid.
Yeah, he is very funny.
Jim Larinaga, we love you. We'd love talking to you on Thursdays. Good luck to your Clippers tonight.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'll talk to you next Thursday.
I got people texting me, like Steve Goldstein, the Panthers broadcaster, saying there's no way you think Burger King is better than In-N-Out Burger. He's taking issue with that.
Come on.
He's taking
Burger
issue
Burger King
with it.
Is not better than an In-N-Out Burger?
That's what Goldie is saying. I'm kind of with them on that one. Like, I'll give you maybe McDonald's and Wendy's, but you think Burger King's better than In-N-Out Burger?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Each his own. Got to have buyers and sellers. Order number one. Sellers that make a market.
Extra ketchup. And then compare it.
You'd see Coach L on the sideline. You thought he was always calling play number one, but he was telling his assistant, go to McDonald's. I want a number one. Get me another number one. See you, Coach.
See you guys.
There you go, Jim Larinaga.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Cracker Barrel, their naming back in the day was terrible.
I actually like it.
Hawk and Crowder.